the book of Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter 10. Miss Sydney, thank you very much. Boy, I appreciate her singing today, don't you? And playing the piano. Well, I didn't give you much chance to say amen. I appreciate Sydney singing today and playing. Yeah, we really appreciate that. Hebrews chapter 10 is where we're turning in the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 10. And thank you all. I love Calvary Baptist Church. Amen. I like this place. Praise the Lord for this church that God is raising up. And Pastor Evans, thank you. You're always encouraging me. And don't you appreciate him? Don't you admire the ministry God has given him? Praise the Lord for it in his precious family. And then all you precious folks coming today, thank you. Be lonely without y'all, you know? I'm glad you came today. And then Cornerstone the next two nights, by the grace of God. Hebrews 10 will be there in just a moment. Cornerstone the next two nights, and I'm looking forward to that. And those who can come over there, I know that will encourage Cornerstone. If you can possibly just come, just be in your place and worship the Lord with us, that would really, really help. That'd be going the extra mile. But that's what Christians do. We go the extra mile as we have opportunity. Hebrews 10, I do hope you'll stop by. And I saw after Sunday school, several of you have already gotten some CDs. I'm glad of that. And this one is Bible Songs for Kids, Volume 5. I thought we was only going to do four volumes, but we ended up doing seven. Each of these have 25 scripture verses set to music. This one, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son. These are kid-friendly. They're sung by kids and designed for kids. And I'll tell you, the kids in America do not know the Bible. And this is a great way. What's learned in song is remembered long. And getting these children to do those, that would be great. If you've got children or grandchildren. And other CDs, quartet CDs. And I'll tell you the project that I'm working on while I'm even here. It's called Bible Stories for Kids. This is actually the kids getting introduced to Joseph, the man of forgiveness. Joseph, why are you in prison? What did you do wrong? Well, kids, I actually didn't do anything wrong, Joseph says. I actually did something right and got put in prison. That's true. Sometimes life doesn't make sense. Not according to the world, but God had a plan, you see. And God was using Joseph. And then the second story on here is Jesus, a Savior, is born. And the third story is the greatest story. What's that? The gospel story. And we're trying to get this out in a big way. God willing, we'll release October 15th. I've got just a little work left to do this week. And so pray about that. And when you get some of those, it helps us get this one in, okay? Hebrews chapter 10. They're any size donation. Hebrews 10, verse 38. When I pause, say the next word, please. Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Chapter 11, verse 1. Now, what's the word? Faith. Here it is again. Yeah, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders were obtained a good report through, here it is, faith. Yes. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Chapter 12, verse 1. Chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside, oh Lord, please, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want to say a few introductory remarks. Number one, the only way to please God is to live by faith. That's the only way. There is no way to please God unless you live by faith. Living by faith is the only way to please God. Wouldn't it be a good thing to try to please God? Only way to do it is to live by faith. Now, back in Hebrews 10:38, this is a quotation from Habakkuk chapter 2. The just shall live by faith. Habakkuk, now this is just introductory remarks, but in Habakkuk, let's think about Habakkuk's ministry for a moment. Habakkuk was confused. He was perplexed. He was grieved. What was bothering him? It's bothering him that his country, his nation, his people group was not obeying the Lord. It was a nation of violence. It was a nation that was blaspheming God. A nation of apostasy. And that grieved the preacher Habakkuk. Well, I'll just tell you, as a preacher, I'm bothered that my country is not serving God. I'm bothered by some things. I'm bothered that sin is just assumed to be okay today. It's not okay. The wrath of God is on all sin. Sin separates man from God. Sin, it's awful. Sin's not a little thing. It's a big thing. It's awful. I'm grieved by it. Well, as I'm grieved, as pastor, you're grieved. Well, Habakkuk, he's grieved. And Lord, Habakkuk says, Lord, why don't you work? God assures Habakkuk that God is at work. And may I tell you that God is at work right now. God is at work in this country. I saw a few folks saved this past week. We're going to try to share the gospel again this week. We're seeing young boys answer the call to preach. I've got a preacher boy traveling with me some now. He's 17 years old, Kerry. Kerry, wow. I'm telling you, Kerry's a good preacher. I've had him out preaching with me and teaching him about preaching. He works at Chick-fil-A, and this Muslim came through his line there at Chick-fil-A, and Kerry's just always saying, praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory. And he's always saying that. Well, the Muslim got upset about it. Took him to the manager and said, this boy's over here saying, praise God. Manager said, it's okay for him to say, praise God. Muslim wasn't satisfied, called corporate headquarters. Corporate headquarters got involved in it, trying to tell Kerry to quit it. Kerry said, if it means my job, I'm going to keep saying, praise the Lord. Boy, I like that kind of fortitude, you know what I'm saying? And that startled corporate headquarters when he said that. He said, I'm going to keep saying, praise the Lord, if it means my job. They said, well, try not to offend people then. Well, I can try not to offend people. It startled them so much they hadn't seen fortitude in a young Christian born so long. It was startling. There's good things going on in this country. There's good things going on. I can tell you some stories of some good things. But it bothers me. But listen, God says, Habakkuk, the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk, you just keep my eyes on, keep your eyes on me, Habakkuk. God says, Habakkuk, you just keep looking to me and you just go ahead and live by faith. Now, why is it we worry? Because of lack of faith. We believe our problems are too big for God. That's why we worry. No, there's no problem too big for God. Faith is the opposite of worry. Faith is the opposite of lots of things. Faith, listen, faith is the cure, man. It's the cure for worry. Faith is the cure for guilt. Faith is the cure for shame. Hallelujah. Faith is the victory. That's more than just a song. That's the truth. Faith is the victory. Why is it that we disobey God? Why is it that we disobey God? It's a lack of faith. It's a lack of faith. The only reason any man would disobey God is because he didn't believe God. We say we believe. We say we believe. I believe in tithing. I believe a man ought to tithe. Okay, let's get your tithing record out. Okay. Oh. According to this, you don't believe. According to this, you're not tithing, man. You don't believe in it. I believe in soul winning, but you never go. I believe in being in church. Well, amen to that. I'm glad you're in church today. I'm glad I'm here, praise the Lord. The things you really believe, you'll do. It impacts you. You'll do what you really believe. And the reason that we're off in sin is because we don't really believe God. We don't believe the consequences are what God says they are. There's consequences of sin, and we reap what we sow. So here's the sermon today. I've got four D's. I wrote out a little sermon, four D's. If you go home and say, hey, Dad, look at my report card, four D's. That's not good. But today we got four D's, all right? D number one, the details of faith, the details of faith, chapter 11. Let's look at some details of faith. What is faith? Chapter 11, verse 1, now faith. is the substance, the concrete substance of things hoped for, the evidence. Man, there is evidence of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. The details of faith. First, what is not faith? Faith is not blind superstition. Those folks over there, Calvary Baptists, they're just blindly following along that preacher Evans. They're just blind. No, faith is not blind superstition. No, faith is not blind superstition. Some people say, well, faith is the power of positive thinking. No, it's not. Is a so-called preacher from years gone by, that was his message. The power of positive thinking. That's not what faith is. No. Faith is mere idealism. Those folks over there at Calvary Baptist, they're just so idealistic. Not true. In fact, if you're listening, say amen. Let me tell you something. God is not an idealistic God. God is not an idealistic God. He's a realistic God. And we Christians, we're living by realism. People, they don't understand. Lost people, scoffers, cynics do not understand why we live the way we live. They don't know. We're living by faith. We actually believe God. We don't just say we believe God. We actually believe God. What is faith? Faith is confidence in God. Faith is confidence in God. Faith is dependence upon this Bible right here. I'm trying to build my life on this right here. Years ago, I started reading 10 chapters of the Bible a day. And on March the 15th, God, I don't know, I just believed I needed to start having mega doses of the Bible. I've been trying to average somewhere between 20 to 50 chapters a day. I'm telling you something, man, there's power in this Bible right here. We need the Word of God. My faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed. No, my faith is in God. Your faith should be in God, your confidence in God, your dependence on God, your convictions coming from God. The word substance here, I got some assurance from God. Substance. Now the word hope, back in verse 1, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Some people get confused with that word hope because they think it's a wish. For example, when I was a boy, I was 6 years old. I was 6 years old. I said to my family, I hope I get a bicycle for Christmas. And I don't know if they heard me, so I said, hey, I hope I get a bicycle for Christmas. And I began, on a marketing campaign for a bicycle for Christmas. And I got one. It was a hand-me-down. I was sixth owner of that bicycle. And I owned it for about 2 years, and somebody else owned it. They became seventh owner of that bicycle. By the way, it did not have a bicycle seat on it. I should have said, I'm hoping for a bicycle with a seat. I didn't have a seat, but we tied some rags on it, And, well, I need some training wheels. Oh, Byron, you're too big for training wheels. You're too smart for training wheels. In other words, we don't know where those training wheels are. Who knows? And first day I had the bicycle, broke my arm, And, went to school the next day with big old cast on, I'd said, I hope I get a bicycle. See, I was wishing. I wish I get a bicycle. And some folks think that's what we're doing. We're just wishing. No. You saw the word substance. You saw the word evidence. I mean, just think back to the evidence. Just think back to the evidence. Go down to the brink of the water, you Levites, and you just put your feet in there, and whoo, that water parted. Because those folks actually believed God. They say that the fellow, the Jew that first put his foot in was a fellow named Nashon. He went first. That's according to Jewish tradition. They're good at panning on their head. I don't know if it's Nashon, but somebody went first. And may I just step my foot in first? He believed. Amen. And man, that water parted and the land congealed. That's the Bible word there. The land congealed. Why? Because you can believe God, friends. You can believe God. Faith is not altered by appearances. Listen to me. Faith, dear Lord, faith is not altered by appearances. Sometimes it looks grim for the Christian. For example, Daniel, you're going to have to stop praying. We have made a law. It's against the law for you to pray. Well, there's a law higher than man's law. That's God's law. And so Daniel said, no, I'm not going to stop praying. Sometimes the right answer is no. No, I'm not going to stop praying. You don't stop praying, we're going to put you in there with the hungry lions. Now, how would you like to die? Would you like to be eaten by lions? Brother Fox, how do you want to die? You would like to be eaten by lions? No. Would you like to burn up, Brother Fox? No. No, 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 no. Well, how do you want to die, Brother Fox? As easy as possible. Yeah, man. Yeah. It looks pretty bad. Looks pretty bad for Daniel. It looks pretty bad. But Daniel's faith was strong. His God was stronger. God's in charge of the lions. Lions never bothered Daniel that night. It was a king who didn't get a good night's sleep that night, not Daniel. That's amazing. Faith is not altered by appearances. It looked bad. It looked bad for Daniel. It looked pretty bad for those three Hebrew children. Nebuchadnezzar says, when you hear the music, bow down. Bow down to my image. Three Hebrew boys said, we're not doing that. We believe God. Our faith is in God. Nebuchadnezzar said, I'll give you another chance, boys. Because if you don't bow down, I'm going to put you in that fiery furnace. You get burned up. Oh, see, three Hebrew boys said, okay, we're not bowing down. We will not bow down. They turned the furnace up seven times hotter than it had ever been. The fellows who threw them in, they died. That's right. They died. Then old Nebuchadnezzar says, hey, I thought we put three boys in there. Looks like there's four. And that fourth one looks like the Son of God. Come out, boys. You couldn't even smell smoke on them. Faith is not altered at appearances. Big old Goliath's going out there. He's making fun. Goliath is mocking God Almighty. Little David comes to town. He's a young man. David comes to town. Who is this guy? Is there not a cause, he says? I volunteer. I'll go fight him. Oh, David, you little mischievous boy. He's too big to fight. Oh, he's too big to miss. Let me out there. Yeah. Man, you've got to read chapter 17. Goliath says, oh, you've sent a lad. I'll feed him to the fowls of the air. You've got to hear what David, you've got to read it. You just got to read it. Man, David has got some faith. I'm getting you, big boy. I mean, you just got to read it. David has got faith. Faith is not altered by appearances. It looks bad. Oh, yeah, but I'm still living by faith, even when it looks bad. When I'm on the mountaintop, I need to live by faith. When I'm in the valley, I need to live by faith. I've got a friend that I talked to last night. This hurricane, he's lost basically everything. I'm talking to him every single day. He's the general director of Fundamental Broadcasting Network, the radio network. He's lost everything. I said, Brother Duane, this is one of your finest opportunities in life. You can show people that you believe God. I said, it's going to be an adventure. I told him last night, I said, basically, Brother Duane, God right now has you as his gospel nomad. You don't have a house, so you're just wandering around, staying with this family for a few days and staying with that family. You're a gospel nomad right now. But just let your light shine. And we're raising funds for them and so forth and trying to help them. Praise God. Listen, faith is not altered by appearances. No, these are the details of faith. We're talking about details of faith. You see the word seen? Look at verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, the world says, seeing is believing. God's word says believing is seeing. You want to see? Start believing. Start believing. Faith is not measured by feelings. Oh, those people at Calvary Baptist States live by their feelings. We're not living by feelings. We're living by faith. It's not by feelings. Our faith it goes way beyond our emotions. Number one, the details of faith. Number two, the dynamics of faith. The dynamics of faith. Dear Lord, help us. Verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. I believe in creation. I do not believe in that silly evolution. No way possible. We're talking about dynamics of faith. I was on a plane. I got seated with 6 NASA scientists. That's amazing. That's great. 5 young men, a young lady. And I found out who I was with. I said, wow. I said, I am a little upset with you. Like, yes? I said, yeah. You folks have downgraded Pluto. It's no longer classified as a planet. You've now classified it as a satellite. I said, I don't like that. They're like, oh, Mr. Fox. I'm playing around. I said, when I was a boy, it was a planet, man. Not a satellite, you know? So we're just having a good time. I told them I was a preacher. One of them leaned over and said, we don't want to pry, but why don't you believe in evolution? They automatically knew that I didn't believe in evolution, and I don't. I said, oh, thank you for asking. I did. I raised the window up. I said, the window shade. I said, look out here. The heavens declare the glory of God. We talked some scientific things. How the second law of thermodynamics, I mentioned it this morning in Sunday school. Everything's falling apart. I said, that goes right against this evolution, everything getting better. I said, that's not true. The earth is not billions of years old. I said, for example, pretend I had a cowboy hat. Take it off. And take apart one of your watches and let me put it in my cowboy hat. Take it apart. Take it apart. And I'll take and shake it for 1 million years. I said, are you telling me you think this watch is going to reassemble and keep precision time? Really? The only way to know proper cosmogony, the study of how things came to be, is study the Bible. Amen. Amen. Finally, they said, well, what do you think about global warming? I said, I believe in it. They said, you do? I said, Peter 3 says it's going to melt with fervent heat, man. I don't know about that stuff y'all talking about. But the Bible's talking about global warming coming, man. I got to give them the Bible. Now, we've enjoyed laughing and so forth. I love those scientists. They're believing something so foolish, so foolish. Evolution is nothing but shaking your fist at God. Darwin's daughter died of a stomach problem, and I believe Darwin got angry with God and blamed God and tried to figure some way that he could prove there was no God. Friends, there is a God. And faith brings the dynamics of faith. You learn how this world came to be. We wouldn't know how this world came to be without the Bible. We wouldn't know. I mean, years ago, do you know that years ago, all these silly different theories, the Egyptians said that the world stood on 5 pillars. There were 5 pillars. There's one on each corner, and there's one in the center. I guess someone had crawled to the edge and looked under and saw there's one. Of course that's not true. Some Asian folks, they said that the earth was on the back of an elephant, and then that elephant was on top of a turtle, and then it was another turtle underneath that one, another turtle. It was just turtles the rest of the way down. Yeah. To another turtle. It was just turtles right on. You know? I don't know where it ended, you know. Isn't that crazy? Crazy. So you want to have some spiritual wisdom, then you're going to have some faith. Because by this faith, you understand how this world came to be. Faith brings spiritual wisdom. God in the Bible is not explained. God in the Bible is not argued for. God in the Bible is just presented, and then you must accept Him by faith. You must trust Him. You must depend upon Him. Faith brings spiritual wisdom. Faith brings spiritual worship. When your eyes work properly, they respond to light. When your ears work properly, they respond to sound. When your heart works properly, it just responds to God in faith. Lord, I believe. D number three, the duty of faith. All right, so I'm believing God, so what is my duty? Chapter 12, what is my duty? Well, I've got some duties because I'm a believer, a man of faith. We in this room who know the Lord, we want to know the Lord well, and we want to do our duty because we're people of faith. Our faith is in our Lord. So what's our duty? Chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. What's my duty? My duty is to find, follow, and finish God's will for my life. I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. Praise God, on a Thursday night, May the 18th, 1972. You know what that was? That was the starting point. That was the starting point of God's goal for my life. God has a goal for my life. God's got a goal for your life. And my duty, it started that night that I got saved. And then every single day, I am to walk with God and to grow and to mature as a Christian. Remaining a baby Christian is not honoring to the Lord. No, sir. No, we're supposed to grow. Grow in grace, the Bible talks about. Mature as Christians. Yeah, growing Christians. And walking with God. And here's a temptation. Here's a temptation. After being saved now 40-something years, so you've been saved a long time, we get to a certain point and we just kind of stop. Not right. I'm supposed to continue living by faith. Continue living by faith. Continue living by faith. Continue living by faith. Walking with God and keep growing as a Christian. Some of us, the finest opportunities we have is not when we're young as a Christian, but as we get more mature as a Christian. And I've got duties to find, follow, and finish God's will for my life. It's not just how you start the counts, how you finish the counts. I've got a duty. So how am I supposed to perform this duty? Well, number one, lay off the superfluous. Leave those alone. Look here. It says, let us lay aside every weight. Not necessarily a sin, just weight. Things that get you sidetracked that are meaningless. Some Americans are spending their life on things that are just meaningless, that on the day of judgment are going to mean nothing. So trivial, so unimportant. I know one man, all he can do is collect baseball cards. Now, there's nothing inherently sinful having a little baseball card collection. If you've got one, if you've got a little hobby, whatever, no problem. I've got a baseball card collection, got three cards. I don't know where they are. It's true. You know, what is baseball anyway? It's 3 minutes of action spread out over 3 hours, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, a baseball card collection, have the biggest baseball card collection in the whole world. How important is that on the day of judgment? We stand before God. Lord, I spent my whole life and all my money and all my... Lord, I was just obsessed with it. Obsessed with baseball cards? Obsessed with riches? How big our portfolio is not going to matter on the day of judgment. Every man needs to learn how to earn money. Every man needs to learn how to save money. Every man needs to learn how to give money. Every man needs to learn how to not hoard money. Money is a great servant, but it's a terrible master. So how am I supposed to perform my duty? Leave off all these little trivial things, the things that are meaningless, watching TV day and night. I believe you ought to listen to the news 10 or 12 minutes a day. Don't listen to it all day long. You get so depressed you can't get out of bed. Turn CNN all day long. You just lay there. Oh, I am wore completely out. What'd you do? I watch CNN all day. It'll zap you, man. You watch TV news all day long, it'll wear you out, man. You know, watch a little bit, but go do something that's meaningful and worthwhile. Leave off the little trivial, the little superfluous, the things that are just meaningless. Leave those off. Don't spend all your energy on those things. No, no. And then what is motivating me? What should motivate you in this walk of faith, this life of faith? What should motivate us? Look at verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. I don't know all that that means, but I do know that there's some people witnessing my life. My wife is. She wrote me a text this morning. We was texting back and forth. She said, I am praying God will use you there today. If I went off into a life of sin, become wayward and indifferent and rebelled against God, I'll tell you, it hurt Renee Fox. Hurt my kids. It hurt my church. I'm a member of Calvary Baptist Church, Smithville, Virginia. My pastor is Greg Gray. It hurt my preacher. It hurt our ministry. I've got staff members who've been texting me this morning. It would hurt them if I just... Listen, all of us have some influence. Every one of you, if you turned your back on God, quit attending church, quit tithing, quit trying to live the noble life, I'm telling you, it hurt people. You got a cloud of witnesses. People are watching. I was out at Bethel. We had those candy bar sales. I hated those things, selling those candy bars. We was going down the street, had Rachel. She was like 5 years old, and we're selling those candy bars. And so we got down a few blocks from us. I knocked on the door, and the man came to the door. Man, this is 30 years ago. Man came to the door and said, well, Brother Fox. I said, yes, sir. I said, have we met? He said, oh, come on in. Come on in. They just moved to the area. He was an older gentleman. I walked inside the living room, and there was his invalid wife in a hospital bed. I said, now, sir, have we met? He said, oh, no. I said, but we talk about you here in the neighborhood. Oh, yeah. He said, we see you going to church. Yeah, there's people watching. Our neighbors, yeah, there go my neighbors again to church. They're watching you. They're taking attendance. I guess they'll go back tonight. I'll just go ahead and check them off because they always go Sunday night too. You know, I heard this week they got it at Cornerstone. I'd probably go ahead and mark Monday off. You know, we got people watching us. Granddad, grandkids are watching. I'm telling you something. Granddads have so much influence for good or for bad. So this life of faith, I've got a duty to continue in this life of faith and to continue growing with my Lord and continue serving God. And there's a big enemy of faith. What is it? Verse 1. Now, when I pause, say the word. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and there's a big enemy. The big enemy, the giant, monster enemy of faith is sin. Those besetting sins, doing it over and over. I was preaching at a church. I preached there a number of times. And several times I'd be standing about right here and a lady of the congregation would come and say, Brother Fox, pray about my sin. And she'd name what she was struggling with. And so year after year I'd pray with her. And I came back to the church, and turns out I was standing right there, and she came, and she said, would you pray? And I said, no. She looked at me. I said, ma'am, I'm never praying about that again. I said, you know what you're doing is wrong. Stop it. I don't know. That's not normally the way I do things. That's what I believe God wanted me to say to her. And she was upset with me. Later on, I got a letter through the mail from her saying, thank you. It's time to stop all the sin. Amen. Revival. Hey, you want revival here? Number one, let's repent of all known sin. Repent of all known sin. Stop it. Get all the doubtful things out of our lives. Amen. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Go out of here and tell everybody about Jesus. Amen to these things. Faith, dear Lord. The duty of faith. The duty of faith. And then lastly, the destination of faith. Where are we headed? Where are we going? Are we going anywhere? Yeah, we're going. At the end of verse 1, look at it. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Oh, we've got a destination. And running is always a forward motion. Maybe you can't run physically like you used to. But if you can still move, that's a good thing. But I'll tell you what, a race is always forward. God is always advancing, and God's people are always advancing. God's people are filled with determination. Determination. Running with patience. Staying at it. Staying everlastingly at it. Amen to that. Keep going soul winning. Keep tithing. Why are you doing that? Because we believe God. Because we believe God is why we're coming back tonight. Because we believe God, we're trying to have this revival meeting in Salem. Because we believe God, we've got this men's meeting this coming weekend. Because we believe God, everything at our church, everything that we're involved in, everything, this ladies' meeting, everything is harnessed to two things. What? The advancement of the Christian faith, the furtherance of the gospel, and the glory of God, worshiping our Lord. If it's not harnessed to those two things, we don't want it. We've got a destination. Heaven is the destination of the children of God. I'm going to heaven. I've got a destination. How you get there? It's by faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. No one will get to heaven without faith. So some conclusions. It's not great faith in God that's so needed. It's just faith in our great God. It's God who's great. Yeah, and then number two, faith is the byproduct of looking unto Jesus. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You want to have some faith? Keep looking to Jesus. Keep your eyes on Him. Say, Brother Fox, I don't want to do that. I'd rather stare at my problems all day long. Not smart. Glance over there at those problems. Deal with problems, but keep looking to Jesus. Just keep looking to Jesus. So like my friend Dwayne, who lost all his earthly possessions, lost it all, 50 years old, married, had grown kids, lost it all. His two grown children are watching Dad right now. That fellow I told you about in the hospital had his right foot taken off, his little toe. He showed me pictures of all his grandchildren. Yeah. Oh, just keep your eyes on Jesus. What would it be like to lose your foot? What would it be like, ladies in this room, to lose everything you've got? Water 7 feet tall in your house and just stand there, dirty, murky water. What would it be like to lose everything you've got? Well, the only way you can do that is just look to Jesus. Lord, I'm yours. You know about those floodwaters that came into my house and destroyed everything. But I'm looking to you today. Would you bow your heads? Oh, Lord, please work in this invitation right now, please. I want to talk to the people a moment, Lord. With heads bowed and eyes closed, how many of you absolutely know that you've put your faith completely in Jesus for salvation? You have received Jesus as your personal Savior. That if you died today, you know that you're going to heaven. How many of you have that real assurance? Would you raise a hand right now and say, Brother Fox, I know I'm saved. I know I've received Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you raise a hand high? God bless you. God bless you. Is there anyone in this room? You may put your hands down. Is there anyone in this room who would say, Brother Fox, I don't know that I'm saved. Brother Fox, pray for me. I don't think I'm saved. Would you raise a hand right now and say, Brother Fox, pray for me. I don't know. I don't have assurance that if I died today that that I would go to heaven. I'm scared I'd go to hell. Is there anyone like that? I'm not here to embarrass anyone. There's nothing to worry about me trying to embarrass you. I'm not going to do that. Is there anyone like that? Let me ask all the Christians in this room, has God spoken to your heart today, maybe about some sin that has crept in? In a few moments, I'm going to ask our pianist to play, "My Faith Has Found a Resting Place, Not in Device or Creed." We'll have that song played in a few moments. Is there some Christians in this room that, well, you're just struggling? Well, come to the altar today and pray and make some new commitments. Yeah, God bless you. Who else wants to come? Would you stand? Oh, Lord, please work in this invitation. You know what I'd like, Lord? I think it's according to your will. Would it be good for men to renew their commitments to you in this regard of living by faith? And ladies who would attempt to keep themselves unspotted from the world, Almighty God, and maybe a renewal of commitments to faith, faith in the Bible, faith in all of your principles, faith in your commands, faith in your Son, Jesus. May holy and honorable commitments, Lord, I want to start first. You know what's in my heart. Help us in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed.